Pentecost is the beginning of the church. So it invites us to look at the very beginning of Scripture in a slightly different light. That the familiarity of those first stories in Genesis chapter 1 and 2 can keep us from seeing all that is there, that we might stop short. Because, you know, I've heard that story before. But one rabbinic tradition reminds us that those stories at the very beginning of Genesis change the way we see ourselves and how we see others. It's like those old arguments from the playground out by the monkey bars. There was always an element of competition. Who could get across them the fastest? Or who could hang there the longest? And if we couldn't win, it usually devolved into a war of words, the common put-downs of the playground. You know, well, I'm taller. Well, I'm faster. Well, I'm stronger. And if all else fails, my parents are better than your parents. But this one rabbinic tradition reminds us that because of the story of Adam and Eve, none of us can ever say, my parents are better than your parents, because we are all children of God. It doesn't keep us from drawing lines and sizing up differences that as we look around the world, we grieve the inequities, the varying degrees of suffering that people face, the gap between disparate opportunities. Well, the winds of Pentecost come along and try to blow all of those away. It's like in his wonderful book, The Stem of Jesse, where Will Campbell talks about the debates and arguments evolving around the integration of Mercer University, an old Baptist school. The Baptist missionaries in Africa sent some of their students back to the States to enter college at Mercer University, and now the leadership and trustees were debating how to vote. But as one professor at Mercer says, why are we voting on something that was settled at Pentecost? Because there were Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, parts of Libya, visitors from Rome, Cretans, and Arabs. It is languages, cultures, places from around the world that we catch a glimpse, a sheer glimpse of the kingdom of God. I have found it quite awkward venturing out into the world wearing a mask, protecting myself and others from health concerns. Perhaps because so much of our communication, they say, is nonverbal. And the medical community and healthcare professionals have a head start on the rest of us. They know what it feels like to wear a mask during the day or even to have conversations with others when our faces are covered. But they also know what it means to see people as the same. Because a Parthian and a Mede need a heart procedure for the same reason. That an Elamite and a resident of Mesopotamia can both be diagnosed with cancer. That someone from Judea can have high blood pressure the same way as someone from Cappadocia can. That it seems odd wearing those masks that protect us from health concerns, but perhaps they not only cover up, but also reveal. That they reveal to us those other masks that we have worn for a long time. Masks that hide our fears, that cover up bias, that conceal our questions. That in this world, we all know it is hard to simply be who you are, which means it's hard to see others as they are. And those masks that we wear to protect ourselves from health concerns invite us to look beyond what we first see. Beyond those masks that we wear to hide ourselves, that we might try to just blend in. But that's not what happened at Pentecost. We see everyone's differences as something good, along with what binds us together, the grace of God. That it can be hard to see what is in front of us. Ray Buckley, who's a writer who also works with the United Methodist Church, talks about everything he learned from his grandfather. That his grandfather taught him all about his Native American heritage. And he remembers his grandfather telling him a legend as he was growing up about the stars in the sky. That some of the stars were placed in the sky, but others were hidden throughout this world. That his grandfather used to say, stars are everywhere. And he'd pull a branch off a cottonwood tree, and he'd break it in half, and he'd ask his grandson to look closely until he discovered the image of a star right there at the center of the branch. It's like lying on our back looking up at the night sky and someone saying, oh, there's a shooting star, and we look quickly, but we just miss it. That if we don't look beyond what we first see, we can miss the stars around us. And Pentecost says there are stars everywhere. It's like what the Apostle Paul tells the church in Corinth. There are many gifts, but the same Spirit. That as we have sheltered in place, we have thought a good bit about essential jobs. And maybe that list is much longer than we first anticipated. That the definition of essential has broadened to include not only the teacher and nurse and doctor, but also the garbage collector, restaurant cook, meat packer, funeral director, plumber, UPS driver, cashier, farmer, grocery store worker, and many others. That there are minimum wage jobs and jobs without technical training, but as a community, we depend on them. That as we wear those masks that protect us from health concerns, we might find ourselves looking more at people's eyes. And perhaps they also invite us to look from people's eyes, from their perspective, how they see and interact with this world, the gifts that they bring, and the challenges that they face, that we discover again our calling towards the common good. That on Pentecost, we can begin as the church, seeing all people as God's children. For the church here in Auburn, or gatherings in a village in Africa, or in the basilicas of Rome, the homes of Syria, the cathedrals of Argentina, the storefronts of Guatemala. In all the places around the world, as well as where we live, we can see everyone's differences, as well as what binds us together. That as the winds of Pentecost blow yet again, we might see a little bit more of what Jesus meant by the kingdom of God. Amen.